إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Welcome all of you. Continue our classes from the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, the explanation of our beloved Shaykh al-Doktor Salih al-Fawzan hafidahullah from his book Al-Minha al-Rabbaniya fi Sharh al-Arba'in al-Nawawiya. Al-Hadithu al-Thamin Ashar. Hadith number 18 today. 1-8. عن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وفي بعض النسخ حديث حسن صحيح. On the authority of Abi Dharr, Jundub ibn Junada, and Abi Abdul Rahman Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqillah, fear Allah wherever you are, and follow up a bad deed with a good one, and it will wipe it out, and behave well towards the people. This colleague by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and he said this hadith is Hassan. In another places they says Hassan Sahih. First of all, our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he's going to give us a brief illustration on what does it mean, what is a hadith Hassan. And by him bringing a slight the illustration on the difference between a hadith that is Hassan and a hadith that is Sahih. As you know, the hadith are different levels of their authenticity. There's that was Sahih, Hassan, Da'if, even there is some Munkar, Mawdu', there's many of them. Hadith, Sahih, Li Ghayri, Gharib, Many types of hadith as related to their authenticity. قال الفرق بين الحديث الصحيح والحديث الحسن أن الصحيح أقوى من الحسن. That the sound hadith which is sahih, they both of them sound. But the sahih, الحديث الصحيح is stronger than the hadith where the ulama they says it is hasan hadith. So the Sahih is above the Hasan. فالصحيح, and then he gave us a definition. What make a hadith صحيح, authentic hadith? هو ما رواه عدل تام الضبط من بداية السند إلى نهايته مع السلامة من الشذوذ والعلل. Hadith sahih, from the things that make the hadith sahih is that it is narrated by a adl, a trustworthy person in his religion, in his character, and he has fine memory. This person, he transmits the hadith as he heard it from his sheikh, who heard it from another sheikh, that heard it from a companion. For example, Abu Huraira or Ibn Umar or other than them. And that the chain of narration is muttasil, meaning there is no interruption between those men. When somebody say, I heard so and so, but then the ulama, they find out he never met him. He lived in Iraq, while the other one lived in Hijaz, and they never met. He never traveled. Or sometimes even he died when the other one just was born. Okay? And something like this. And that hadith has to be free from shudud and ilan. These are defections that interfere with the authenticity of the hadith. Of course, this is not a class of ilm mustalah al-hadith. والحسن هو ما رواه عدل خفيف الضبط. What is the hadith حسن? It is also has to be narrated by عدل. But the only difference, the same condition that applies in the Sahih applies in the Hasan, except in one of them. That if you find a narrator, a person in a chain narration, that he's not accurate like the other one, then that's make it Hasan. Okay? He's not 100% dubbed. He doesn't have the accuracy that the other one has. This now that make the hadith Hasan. وإلا فالحسن من قسم الصحيح. The Shaykh said, keep in mind with this slight difference between the Hasan and Sahih, the Hasan hadith is a part of the authentic hadith. It is authentic as well. إلا أنه أقل درجة من الصحيح لما فيه من خفة ضبط بعض رواته. However, it is authentic hadith, but it is slightly in lower degree than the hadith that is sahih. قال وقوله حسن صحيح. When you find that he said this hadith is حسن صحيح. Alright? Which one? Is it حسن or is it صحيح or what? قال يعني, what does it mean when the ulama they mention hadith is حسن صحيح? He says يعني إنه يرويه من طريقين. Meaning that this alim of hadith, he narrated this hadith from two routes. Tariq and sahih, one route is sound, authentic, all of it, when the other one is hasan. قال هذا أقرب ما قيل في شرح هذه الكلمة. After this, the Shaykh, he began to explain this hadith. Hadith 18, قال وهذا الحديث فيه ثلاث كلمات. كل كلمة وصية مستقلة. So this hadith has three sentences. There are three sentences in this hadith. And every single one of them is a wasiya, is an advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وهو منهج للمسلم يسير عليه في حياته وتعامله. And this hadith and these advices that are contained in it, in the like of these three sentences, it is a manhaj, a path, methodology that the Muslim follow in his life, in his dealings. But now he says in dealing with who? قال مع الله. With Allah, ومع نفسه, with his own self, وتعامله مع الناس, and he's dealing with others. So this hadith, the Shaykh he says, contains three great advices from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should adhere to and apply in our lives, in our dealings with Allah. What is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How should be? Likewise with ourselves. Allah has rights over us. Ourselves has rights over us, our souls and nafs, and the people as well. And then the Shaykh he gave the details. قال أولا في تعامله مع الله. When a person is dealing with his creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال يجب على المسلم أن يتقي الله بطاعته وترك معصيته. Says it is an obligation upon the Muslim to have taqwa of Allah. How? By obeying His commands and leaving off sins and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you fulfill taqwa. It's not just a statement by the tongue. A person become muttaqi and have taqwa of Allah when that person adheres to the commands of Allah and stay away from the prohibitions. ثم قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله فالتقوى هي فعل ما أمر الله به وترك ما نهى الله عنه لأن هذا يقيه من عذاب الله وغضبه. He says taqwa is to act upon what Allah commands you with and to refrain and distance yourself and stay away from the prohibitions. This will save you from the wrath and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وتقوى الله كلمة جامعة تجمع كل خصال الخير. He says تقوى الله is a comprehensive and inclusive, is a comprehensive statement. A word that is comprehensive and includes all traits of good and all venues of good. وهي وصية الله لجميع خلقه. This is what Allah has enjoined upon all His creation, all the people. قال الله تعالى كما في سورة النساء verse 131 وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. We have enjoined on those who received the book before you and yourselves that you fear Allah, that you have the taqwa of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ says, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Still under the dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what it is taken from. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have taqwa of Allah by being obedient to Him and not disobedient, by acting upon the commands and not falling into the prohibitions, whenever you may be, wherever you are. قال فيجب على المسلم أن يتقي الله في أي مكان. He says it is an obligation upon the Muslim to observe this etiquette, to have taqwa of Allah by obeying Him and not disobeying Him in every place. Sheikh Abdul Uthaymeen رحمه الله says في البيت في المسجد في السوق في الخلاء مع الناس. Sheikh Abdul Uthaymeen رحمه الله says نعم, this is who you be. At home, at the masjid, at work, when you're alone, when you're around others. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله نعم في كل مكان حينما يظهر مع الناس وحينما يكون وحده لا يتغير تعامله مع الله. Says the Muslim who really fear Allah, in reality, not just by claim, he's the one who is obedient to Allah and does not disobey Allah when he's around the people and when he's alone as well. When around the people, that's easy. Everybody wanna impress the others. The problem is when we're alone and we think we're alone. We're not alone. He said the Muslim, his behavior towards his creator does not change. Not in front of the people, he's pious, righteous, nice, this, but when he's alone, he's doing something else. No, the Muslim, his behavior does not change. قال أما إذا كان مع الناس أظهر التقوى والتنسك وإذا اختفى عن الناس بارز الله بالمعاصي والمخالفات فهذا منافق والعياذ بالله. The Sheikh says, as for a person, when he's among the people, he showed them that he's pious. He's a worshipper, he's a devoted worshipper to Allah, read the Quran, do a lot of good things. But when he's alone, he indulges in disobedience and sin. He said, this is a hypocrite, وَلَيَّذِ بِاللَّهِ. Person is a hypocrite. وَقَوْلُهُ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. He says, as for the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ, whenever you may be, wherever you are, he says, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يَجِبُ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَنْظُرَ إِلَى النَّاسِ وَلَا يَخْشَى النَّاسِ. وإنما يخشى الله سبحانه وتعالى. He says, a person, this is a proof, and what we benefit from this is that it is incumbent upon the person to don't look at what the people say about him. Shouldn't fear the people. Rather, you should fear Allah. You don't obey the people to disobey Allah. لا. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سواء كان مع الناس أو كان خاليا بنفسه. This is the minhaj of the Muslim. He fears Allah by acting upon His command and stay from the prohibitions, whether he is amongst the people or he is alone. لأن الله يعلم حاله, because Allah knows the conditions of that person. حتى لو توارى عن الناس فإن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء. A person can hide from the people but cannot hide from Allah's knowledge. A person goes somewhere by himself, nobody, he's alone in that apartment or that house, but cannot escape Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-basir, al-samir, al-alim. Allah is the all-seer, the all-hearer and the all-knower, the all-knowing. Knowing or knower? The all-knowing? I just want to make sure I say the right thing. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may conceal things. Person may be sitting next to you. You don't even know what he's thinking about. You don't even know. He's giving you a big smile, but you don't know what he's planning. But Allah knows what we plan, what we conceal, what we're thinking about. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 5, the Shaykh, he mentioned this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing in the earth or in the heavens is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so also in Surah An-Nisa, the ayah 108 in Surah An-Nisa, قال الله تعالى يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله. صلى الله السلام والعافية. يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله. They may hide their crimes and evil from men, but they cannot hide them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot hide them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال أما الناس فهم لا يعلمون عن باطنك ولو كنت جالسا. شيخ العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى share with you فائدة when he says حيثما كنت. شيخ العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى says حيثما كنت. Whenever you may be, except for those places that you don't remember Allah in, such as toilets and bathrooms and the like. قال الشيخ صالح فوزان حفظه الله أما الناس فهم لا يعلمون عن باطنك ولو كنت جالسا بينهم ومن باب أولى لا يعلم عنك شيئا إذا اختفيت عنهم لكن الله تعالى يعلم ولهذا قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الإحسان تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Then the Shaykh, he says, the people, they may not know what you conceal from them. Things, thoughts, ideas that you are thinking about, you're right there amongst them, sitting next to a person, have no clue whatsoever what you're planning. It is more so if you're not around them. Now you're next to a person, don't even know what you're about to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing escapes His knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you speak or don't speak, doesn't matter where you are, Allah has knowledge of what you're talking about, what you're thinking, what you're planning and the like. He said, we benefit from this, that we should, since this is a reality, Allah knows everything and sees everything. We can't escape Allah. We can't just go in some dark alley and Allah don't see us or something like that. No. But that's what in reality, that some of us, that's what we do. We go and do something somewhere and we think like that's it. Since nobody sees us, that we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. The Prophet ﷺ, he says Ihsan, when he was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, what is Ihsan? He says Ihsan is that you worship Allah as though you see Him, even though you don't see Allah. That's reality in this life, but Allah sees you. ثم إن بعض الناس إذا كان في بلاد المسلمين أظهر الإسلام فإذا ذهب إلى بلاد الكفر تنكر ووافق الكفار على ما هم عليه فيتلون كما تتلون الحرباء. قال وهذا أمر لا يجوز, والواجب على المسلم أن يخاف الله ويراقبه سبحانه وتعالى في أي مكان وفي أي بلد. And then the Shaykh now is addressing the Muslims who live in a Muslim lands. They live in a Muslim countries and they travel to a non-Muslim land. The Shaykh says, and then you find some people, some Muslims, some people, he says, if he is in the Muslim land amongst the Muslims, he apply Islam and show the people that he is a Muslim and he's upon Islam. But when that same person travel to the land of kufr and disbelief, he don't practice Islam. And he agree with the kuffar, follow them, do what they do. Whatever they do, he do it. The Shaykh said, this person now he's changing colors, like the, what do you call it?
Chameleon.
The chameleon, naam. You know the chameleon? This animal, a reptile, like a lizard, huh?
Yes.
This lizard, it changed colors to protect themselves. It's a way of protection. Wallahu a'lam. If they are in a green area, they turn green. And that's like a camouflage, right? That's what they call
yes.
it? So they can hide and they can what? Looking for another verb.
Blend right
blend
in.
Blend in. Ahsan.
Blend right in.
Ayna. They blend right in.
Right.
All right.
Looks like whatever he comes into.
Ayna.
Weed, green,
rocks.
Yeah.
If they are like in a rocky place, they take the color of whatever environment and you pass by it, you don't see it. So the Shaykh, he says, some Muslims, that's what they do, which is a bad thing. When they are in a Muslim land, mashallah, salat, they are as Muslims, give salam, pray, maybe look like a Muslim too. They go to the land of kufr, they look like kuffar, act like the kuffar. The Shaykh said, these people, they change colors. The same way the chameleon does. And the Shaykh said, this is not permissible. This is not permissible to do this for those people. What is obligatory upon the Muslim to fear Allah and to have the muraqabah of Allah. Know that Allah is all aware of his actions, statements, wherever that person may be, in any given place, in any given country. هذا أولا تعامل العبد مع الله مع ربه. تعاون العبد مع ربه. الآن ثانيا بينه وبين نفسه. Because we learn in this hadith the minhaj that we follow while dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now also in this hadith we learn the minhaj how we deal with our own selves. And this is from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And follow up a bad deed with a good deed. The good deed will wipe out, it wipes out the bad one. The Shaykh explained, what does it mean? قال, فَإِذَا صَدَرَتْ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ سَيِّئَةً يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَيُتْبِعُهَا بِحَسَنَاتٍ فَإِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. The Shaykh says, When a servant of Allah commit a sin, it become obligatory upon that servant, he or she, to repent and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with repentance, sincere repentance. And also that person should follow that bad deed with good deeds. For indeed, the good deeds wipe out the bad ones. And he mentioned the ayah 114 in Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِّ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And perform the prayers at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night, i.e. the five compulsory prayers. Verily the good deeds remove the evil deeds. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, As-salawatul khams wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ah وَرَمَضَانُ إِلَى رَمَضَانُ مُكَفِّرَاتٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ إِذَا اجْتُنِبَتِ الْكَبَائِرِ. And the Shaykh mentioned this hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 233, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the five obligatory prayers, from one prayer to the other, and from one Jumu'ah to another, and from Ramadan to the next one, these are expiations of the sins that took place between them as long as the major sins are avoided. However, in one of the classes of Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, after a long discussion, which I'm not going to get into that in this class, the Shaykh actually his opinion that also the major sins are included in this one. Shaykh, he mentioned other narrations and this, he says actually that even the major sins are included, they are actually wiped out and removed. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala in his explanation of this, قال هل الحسنة تمحو السيئة أم لا بد من التوبة؟ قال اختلف العلماء منهم من قال لا بد من التوبة وعمل الحسنات. قال ومنهم من قال لا حتى ولو لم يتب الإنسان وعمل الخير يمحو السيئات. قال وهذا هو الصحيح. شيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله he says now when a person do a good deed after they wronged themselves, does it wipe out that bad deed or that person should make tawbah? Two opinions of the ulama. One says no, they has to make a tawbah first. Others they says no, if a person act upon good after doing bad, it will wipe out that bad, even if that person didn't repent, didn't make tawbah. قال فالحسنة تمحو السيئة وإن لم تكن توبة. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says the good deed wipe out the bad one even if there is no repentance involved. قوله تمحوها أي تزيلها وتكفرها هذا من فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى. He says سبحان الله, the fact that the good deeds wipe out the bad deeds, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this hadith, this is from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَذَا مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْأُمُورِ لَتِي يُكَفِّرُ اللَّهُ بِهَا الذُّنُوبِ. And this is from the things that expiate the sins. Allah put these things out of His bounty for His servants, and these are from the things that expiate the sins. وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَى الْفَرَائِدِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرُ عَنْهُ الذُّنُوبَ الصَّغَائِرِ. He says, likewise, the one who is serious about performing the obligations, consistent, and preserve that which Allah has made obligatory upon him, that is Allah will expiate the minor sins from such a person who is who performs the obligations. قال فلا تقنط من رحمة الله بل بادر إلى التوبة إلى الله عز وجل. He says, never despair from the mercy of Allah. All you have to do is just hasten the tawbah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah 53, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my servants who have wronged themselves by sins. أَسْرَفُوا. Allah, they commit many sins. Tell them, despair not from the mercy of Allah, for indeed Allah forgives all sins. قال فالتوبة تجب ما قبلها. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says, repentance wipe out what came before it. بل المشرك والكافر إذا تاب تاب الله عليه. Says, even the mushrik, person who is upon shirk, kufr, disbelief, if they repent from that and turn to Allah and they accept Islamic monotheism, Allah forgive them. Allah forgive them the shirk they were upon and the kufr they were upon. And then he mentioned the ayah 38 in Surah Al-Anfal. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Tell and say to the disbelievers, those who have disbelieved, if you give up the disbelief, إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا and become Muslims, accept Islamic monotheism, Allah will forgive them that which they came before that. قال فكيف بالذنب الذي هو دون الكفر والشرك. Sheikh says, if this is the case, Allah forgave shirk and kufr from those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be upon Islamic monotheism, he says, what do you think about a sin that is lesser than shirk and kufr? قال فلا تتعاظم الذنوب وتيأس من رحمة الله وتيأس من التوبة. لَتُبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. He said, so therefore, never fall into this mistake and never consider your sin to be bigger, great, that said there is no tawbah for you, no mercy, and then some thoughts will come to you and tell you, now Allah doesn't forgive you, this is too big, this is, that's it, you're done. He says, no. Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tub ila Allah. Turn to Allah with repentance. ولا يكفي التوبة باللسان بل أتبع توبتك بعمل الصالحات. Says, never despair from the mercy of Allah. And remember the story of the man who has killed 99 people? 99. And when he went to a people, he told them, show me a scholar. But they sent him to a monk, a worshipper, who doesn't have knowledge. And he told him that he has killed 99 people. Is there any repentance for him? He said, you got no repentance after killing 99 people? No. So he killed him. So now he's 100. So he went to the people to tell them, I will need a scholar. Show me a scholar. So they sent him to a scholar, somebody who has knowledge of Allah. So he told him that he has killed 100 people. Is there any repentance? 100 people. Not just 1 or 2, 10. One person is enough. If a person kills one person, that's a big thing. وَلْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. 100. But look at the scholar who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows He's merciful. He says, nothing prevents you from. What prevents you from tawbah? But you got to do one thing. You got to move. Go to this, to the next city. There are righteous people over there. You worship Allah with them. And the man left. But he died. In the middle of the way, he died. Not in the middle, meaning like hell, but he died while he's traveling and walking to that city. Now the angel of death come, and remember in the sunnah we learned that when the angel of death comes to take the soul, angels of, if that person is righteous, the angels of mercy will come and take the soul from the angel of death. Doesn't leave it with him for the blink of an eye. But if the person is wicked, wal'iyadu billah, then the angels of punishment come with the angel of death. Okay? So in this case, the Prophet ﷺ, he says that the angels of mercy and the angels of the punishment, they dispute. The angels of mercy, they says, will take him. Because this man, he's repenting. He's coming to Allah with repentance. The angels of punishment, they said, this man didn't do anything good. They're not no good yet. He didn't do no good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them an angel in the form of a man to judge between them. And he told them, measure the between the two cities. If he is closer to the one he's heading to, so he is to be his soul to be taken by the angels of mercy. But if he's still closer to the land he just left, then his soul to be taken by the angels of punishment. And when they take those measurements, they found him closer to the land he's heading to, one finger span, one hand span, right? Hand span? One hand span. In another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command this one to go away from him, the evil one, and the good one that he's getting to get closer to him, subhanallah. And in another narration, he says that when he was about to die, he kind of put his chest towards the city he's going to. You know this term? Remember when people are running? 100 meter dash. Sometimes you find the two or three competitors going close, but one of them try to leans forward with his head or chest, and that may determine who win. Okay, so that's wallahu a'lam. I'm just trying to give you an example so you can see, so you can understand what it means. Anyway, we never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تقنط من رحمة الله. This doesn't mean also the ulama, they said, this doesn't mean that a person is go ahead and keep doing a lot of evil and say, look, akhi, just do whatever you do, Allah is going to forgive me. No, this doesn't mean that. You have to strive hard, you have to be obedient, you got to have mujahada, strive, subdue yourself, don't give yourself anything you ask for, stay away from evil people, evil places, okay? Do the cleanup, man. You got to clean up your area, your whatever, your friends, the friends, and then you're a human. If you fall into something after you've been cautious, trying to do what is right, you're a human, you still did something bad, don't give up. Don't say, look, man, I'm Salafi and I still did this, I'm done. No, you're not done. That's what the shaitan wants. He wants you to look like you're done. No, you're not. As long as you're still alive, you're not done yet. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah forgiveness. But the Shaykh, he says, not just by the tongue. No, just a person says, say, oh Allah, I'm repenting right now. And la, بَلْ أَتْبِعَ تَوْبَتَكَ بِعَمَلِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. When you repent, you have to follow that repentance with good deeds and righteous actions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Furqan, in the ayah 70, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except those who repent and believe in Islamic monotheism and do righteous deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds, subhanAllah. Not only they're forgiven, but Allah changed their evil deeds, their sins into good deeds. Allahu Akbar. And Allah is ever oft forgiven, most merciful. قال فتعامل مع نفسك بهذا المقياس وأكثر من الحسنات وتوب عن السيئات والله جل وعلا يعفو ويغفر إذا فعلت أسباب المغفرة. And the Shaykh says, this is how you deal with yourself. Following this scale, by doing a lot of good and repent from evil. do a lot of good, and repent from evil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, will pardon you. But if you follow the means of forgiveness, that person don't follow no means. No, you gotta follow the means of forgiveness. And these are the tools to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with obedience, to give up sins, to repent, and to do a lot of good. ثالثاً بينك وبين الناس. Thirdly, the minhaj that we have to follow while dealing with others. Because you don't live in a jungle by yourself. You live amongst others. You have family members, you have neighbors, maybe you have a wife, children, you have in-laws, you got partners in your job, you got co-workers. You deal with the people. We have a manhaj in this hadith. How we deal with the people, the Prophet says, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ, and behave well towards the people. That's the manhaj of the Prophet from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال أي تعامل معهم بالمعاملة الطيبة وبالخلق الحسن وبالكلام الطيب وبالبشاشة. Says meaning the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that when you deal with others, you deal with them with معاملة طيبة, a good dealing, good manners. When you speak to them, they should hear from you that which is good. بشاشة, when you meet them with a cheerful face, with a smile on your face. That's how you meet the people. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَزْرَعُ الْمَوَدَّ فِي الْقُلُوبُ وَيُؤَلِّفُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Because these are the ingredients that bring love and harmony between the people. If you deal with the people like this, you respect them, you're nice to them. You, when you address them with the good terms, good words. And you don't oppress them, and you're nice to them. Then they will bring love for you in their hearts. And that will bring you together, the unity that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله والخلق الحسن صفة حميدة تكون في الإنسان يمنحها الله لمن يشاء من عباده والإنسان كذلك يتخلق بالأخلاق الحسنة إذا لم تكن جبلة فعليه أن يكتسبها ويتعلمها ويجتهد في ذلك ما استطاع إليه سبيلا. The Shaykh says, good manners is a good characteristics that found in the people. Allah bestowed these good manners on certain people. They are born with it. Alhamdulillah, they're good, they're nice, they're modest, they're humble, they're easy, they're forgiven, and the like. He says, but this is Allah bestowed this upon whom he wills from his servants. The ulama, they call it jibillah, meaning Allah give it to them. They nice, Allah, this is how Allah created them. Create them upon that nature, they are modest, humble, very nice, very easy to deal with. Others know, the Shaykh he said, they just sit there and say, oh look, Allah didn't, no. He said, you have to learn. Have to learn how to be modest, how to humble yourself, how to be kind, how to be nice. Change yourself. And this is a reality. Sometimes you find people, alhamdulillah, they change from kufr, of course, by Allah's will, to Islam. And from even in Islam now, they were upon Sufiya, but then now they're upon the Sunnah and upon Salafiyya. They change their names. Talking about now somebody who was not Muslim, change their names from Leroy, Duane, or whatever, to Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Ibrahim, Nuh, Musa, Isa. They change the way they look. They used to wear any clothes, hip hop, whatever, Fubo, name it. Now they wear, alhamdulillah, thawb, they wear a kufi. They don't drag their pants anymore, no saggy pants, alhamdulillah. But then what happened to manners? Now you're going to change that too. Naam, you find people, they change that and they change their manners too. They're nice. They used to be very bad before. They used to curse. They used to fight. They used, if somebody give them one word, they give them a 15 back. But they change. They're like, no. It's Islam, man. I'm not going back to Jahiliyyah, man. This is Islam. You hear what he said? Yeah, it doesn't matter. He said whatever he wants. I got to worry about what I said. Say, I don't worry about what the people said, but I have to worry about what I say. Aina. فالله سبحانه وتعالى قال في حق نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى praising our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said إنك لعلى خلق عظيم. سورة القمر القلم. شهد الله له بالخلق العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى praise him and bear witness that he is on the greatest standards of manners, the best manners. ولهذا تحول أعداؤه إلى أصدقاء. سبحان الله. For this reason, for this character, good manners of the Prophet ﷺ, his enemies, they turn to become his friends. The enemies of the Prophet ﷺ, they become his friends. وَصَارُوا مِنْ خَوَاسِ أَصْحَابِهِ بِسَبَبِ خُلُقِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Some of the companions, they used to be his main enemies. They become his main companions, close companions to him, because of his good manners. وَصَارُوا يُدَافِعُونَ وَيُنَافِحُونَ وَيُجَاهِدُونَ مَعُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. They were planning to kill him. Now they are defending Islam. They're protecting him, putting their lives before him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. They were planning to kill him. Now you find them, they are protecting him. Everyone say, look, I wish I die. Everything in my family go, but not even one thorn touch you, O Messenger of Allah. But before Islam, they were rallying everybody to kill him. وهم بالأمس كانوا من ألد الأعداء لكن بتعامله وخلقه صلى الله عليه وسلم مع الناس استجلبهم إلى الإسلام. The Sheikh says, look, yesterday, meaning before their Islam. That's yesterday doesn't mean Wednesday, Tuesday. Okay, now meaning before their Islam, before Allah guide them, they used to be the main enemy to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But now after Islam and they get close to him and they, the way he treat them and behave towards them, his good manners, they became their good. And many of them, they were actually came to Islam because of his character, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They cheat him, he don't cheat. They do a lot of evil things, even in the name of love, we're fighting. Now him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he adorned himself, and whatever he does it in a good manner, following the good manners of Islam. And they became Muslims. قال وهكذا يكون الذي يدعو إلى الله بالخصوص. The Shaykh says, likewise, anyone who's calling to Allah, especially, all Muslims have to adorn themselves with the good manners of Islam, but especially the da'i, the one who's calling people to Islam, يكون ذا خلق حسن. He has to have good manners. فيتعامل مع الناس بالحسن واللطافة واللين. He has to deal with the people with good manners. Has to be gentle, kind towards them. حتى يستجلبهم إلى فعل الخير. وإلى التوبة إلى الله. So being kind to them by adorning himself with the manners of Islam, he will invite them and make it easy for them to do good, to repent to Allah, and to accept the da'wah, the call. قال فهذه الكلمات العظيمة منهج يسير عليه المسلم. So this statement in this hadith is a great manhaj that the Muslim follow in his life. وهو من جوامع الكلم التي أتيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع فيها بين خيري الدنيا والآخرة. It is from those small words that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, but contains a lot of benefits, and combined, this hadith combines benefits for us in this life and in the hereafter.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, by this we come to an end, reading to you the explanation of our beloved Shaykh, Dr. Al-Allama, Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, on this hadith, hadith number 18, in Al-Arba'een Al-Nawawiyyah. What is left from the time, I'm going to read to you some of the benefits that you can find in the explanation of our beloved Shaykh Al-Walid, Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, Rahimahu Ta'ala, on this hadith. In his book, Sharh al-Arba'in Nawawiyyah, page 221-222. قال أولا وجوب تقوى الله عز وجل حيث ما كان الإنسان إلا في الأماكن الغير اللائقة كالمراحيض مثلا لكن ينوي الإنسان بقلبه أنه مطيع لله عز وجل ممتثل لأمره مجتنب لنهيه. Benefit number one from this hadith, and this is like a summary to the hadith, to the explanation. It is obligatory to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you may be, not just in the masjid or this, no, wherever you are. The Shaykh said, except in those places that you do not remember Allah in them and do actions of worship in them, you can read the Quran and the light, such in the bathrooms. Why are you using the bathroom and the light? But a person should always have a good intention. Even in those places, have always good intention that in his heart that that person always obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, applying to his commands, staying away from the prohibitions. Benefit number two, أن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Another benefit from this hadith, that the good deeds, the actions of righteousness we do, wipe out the bad deeds. So we should increase, because we're human, we're wrong ourselves. Don't you think, Lord, I don't know, this might not apply on me, I'm a good guy. Now we're wrong ourselves. So let us increase from good deeds. Number three, فضلullah عزّ وجل على العباد. Likewise, this hadith illustrates the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His servants. That we're wrong ourselves and Allah forgive us by the way of doing good deeds. Rabi'an, number four, right? الحث على مخالقة الناس بالخلق الحسن وهو اللين لهم والعفو والصفح عن مسيئهم وإذا اقتدى المقام معاملة بعض الناس بالحزم والقوة والجفاء فهذا لا ينافي الخلق الحسن إذا كانت المصلحة في الغلظة والشدة فعليك بها. He says, this hadith incites us to behave well with the people, treat the people in a nice way, by being easy with them, being kind, gentle, pardon and forgive those who are wrong from them. This is what's supposed to be. But sometimes, if there is a benefit to be stern and to be harsh, yes, you can do that as well. Sometimes, if harshness will bring benefit, that's what you do as well. I want to share with you a statement of Shaykh bin Baz, our beloved Shaykh al-Allama, Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, قال, الأصل في التعامل مع الناس الرفق واللين. أما الشدة والغلظة فتستعمل في موضعها. Shaykh bin Baz, and this is a statement also that I heard it personally from Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, these great scholars. Look, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh bin Baz, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh al-Albani. What they say? That the asl, the origin while dealing with the people is that you be nice, kind, gentle, easy, not rough. Certain people, they switch it the other way around. They always rough. I can't talk to you. Asal is that you have to be nice, kind with the people, to be easy. Except for Ahlul Bid'ah, those who are upon Bid'ah and innovation, and you know them, those people, you leave them alone. But the layman people, you be nice. And especially your brothers upon the Sunnah, upon Salafiyya, be kind to them, be gentle, easy. That's the asl. Al-rifq wal-leen. As for roughness and shidda, ghilda, harshness, it has to be used only if it's needed and there is a benefit behind it. And there is a maslaha and benefit behind it. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق في الأمر كله. حديث شيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى منشن الحديث دليل صحيح البخاري صحيح مسلم. إن الله رفيق. Allah is رفيق, gentle, and he loves gentleness in all of the affairs. You be kind when you address one another. Be kind, you be gentle, you address one another in a nice way, not in a harsh way. That's the asl. Choose the best expressions. Ya akhil kareem, ya akhil fadil, hayyak Allah, barakallahu feek. Likewise, when you send a text message, send an email, you write something, somebody, start with the good words. Don't just go straight to a person and say, hey, come here, man, I want to talk to you. Nice. Akhi Fadil, Akhi Kareem, with a smile on your face. Ay na'am, hakadha, barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.